So, imagine a teenager suddenly screams at you and like throws a chair across a room.
Oh, yeah, that is a lot to handle.
Right. Your immediate instinct is probably, well, discipline. You want to punish the disruption. But what if that chair throwing isn't malice, but a misfiring survival instinct?
That is exactly the shift we are talking about today.
Welcome to this custom-tailored deep dive, everyone. Today, we are analyzing the concluding pages of the TIP-P for Kids User-Oriented Guidelines. It's this incredible resource designed for teachers, youth workers, and parents.
Yeah, and it is incredibly pragmatic.
Our mission today is to extract the core principles of building trauma-informed communities and really understand how everyday interactions can become opportunities for healing. So, okay, let's unpack this. Because trauma isn't just some rare isolated event, is it?
No, not at all. The source clearly states it is a pervasive reality. I mean, it affects children across all social and economic backgrounds.
And it feels like it's amplified by modern challenges too, right? Like pandemics, migration, and, well, all those intense digital pressures on kids today.
Exactly. And because trauma is so pervasive, we need a fundamental shift in how adults perceive children's actions. What's fascinating here is that trauma awareness isn't it isn't a one-time training.
Right, you don't just take a weekend seminar and you're magically done forever.
Right, it is a lifelong commitment. The key takeaway here is moving from merely reacting to the outward behavior to actually understanding the underlying trauma driving it.
It is sort of like putting on a new pair of glasses. Suddenly, a child's classroom outburst isn't just, a disruption to be punished. It's actually a distress signal that needs a compassionate response.
Exactly. If you look at the neurology, it makes total sense. When a child experiences trauma, their amygdala, which is like the brain's threat detection center, becomes hyperactive.
So it's basically working overtime.
Yeah, it operates like a smoke detector that is wired way too sensitively. It cannot tell the difference between burnt toast and a raging house fire.
Wow. So a minor frustration in class sets off the exact same fight or flight response as a life-threatening event.
Yes. And when that happens, the prefrontal cortex, which handles logic and impulse control, simply goes offline.
So what does this all mean for the adults in the room? Do you need to be a trained therapist to actually make a difference in your neighborhood or your home?
Not at all. And I think that's the most empowering part of this text.
Yeah.
The guidelines reveal that resilient communities aren't built overnight, nor do they eliminate adversity entirely.
Right, bad things will still happen.
Exactly. Instead, they rely on small, consistent acts of empathy. Things like listening without judgment, validating emotions, and offering stability. Healing happens in relationships, not in isolation.
Which means you don't need a clinical degree to execute this. But here's where it gets really interesting. Being a regulated presence and consistently providing this empathy takes an insane amount of energy.
Oh, absolutely. It is exhausting work.
Right. So if the adults are constantly giving and acting as emotional lightning rods, who is taking care of them?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, true trauma-informed communities actively promote the well-being, self-care, and mutual support of the caregivers themselves.
It's the classic protocol, right? You have to secure your own oxygen mask first before helping others.
Exactly. Empathy fatigue is a biological reality. If the adults' nervous systems are fried, they cannot offer the stability the children need. This dual focus is really an investment in shaping emotionally literate future generations.
It fundamentally changes the trajectory of a community. The source wraps up with two really powerful closing quotes that I want to share. Every act of empathy is an act of prevention. Every trauma-informed relationship is a step toward healing.
It is such a compelling reminder. Recovery is a direct byproduct of meeting fear with safety.
It really is. And we want to leave you with this final thought to mull over. If healing is truly rooted in connection rather than isolation, how might your own casual daily interactions change tomorrow if you assumed every person you encountered was carrying an invisible, unspoken burden?